But really just came through a marvelous conversion and attended church in Southern California at Saddleback Church and gave his heart to the Lord on an Easter Sunday. It's been several years ago now. And he's married to Evangeline. And Evangeline, why don't you wave to everybody? She's right down here. And we so appreciate both of them. And they, Rick felt a call from the Lord and to go into ministry. So he gave up I could probably say this for him because he would never say it, but a fairly lucrative job to come to Springfield, Missouri from Southern Cal. And we all know what that transition was probably like. And he has really dove headfirst into the call of God on his life and kept no strings attached. And just it's just a pleasure to get to know him and the friendship that we've developed over the past. We met each other in Israel, of all places. And lo and behold, now he's out here serving the Lord at Convoy. And so Rick, he's working on his credentials. And in order to be licensed, he's already certified, and in order to be licensed, they'd like you to have an internship. So it's kind of like, I don't want to say old buck, young buck, I'm not going to go there, but anyway, he asked if he could do an internship with me, and I just laughed. I said, okay, well, whatever. So we'll do this. So he is coming tonight to deliver the word, and so I want you to greet him and tell him how much you appreciate him being here. Rick Zarecki.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, brother. Well, good evening. Everything, I was going to share everything Mike just shared. So, and I thought I'd have 40 minutes, but I have 20 minutes, so I'll just condense it. It's interesting when the music was playing, they were talking about shame, and I realized even though I'm forgiven, I'm not over all my shame as I was sitting there. I know I'm supposed to be. I know I'm forgiven, but I'm not. My wife, Evangeline, I want to talk tonight about obedience. She's one of the most obedient people I know, and I'm glad she's here. Obedience to God, not to me, honey. And that's okay. Whenever I prepare for something like this, it's amazing, and I'm going to try and stay with my notes because everything leading up to this becomes relevant. Everything. I read something in the Bible, I'm like, oh, that's, I got to put that in. So you hear a song and it's relevant to what's going on tonight. But I want to talk about obedience and how it relates to my marriage and just tell you a little bit of my story. As Mike recommended, I mean, that's where God works. So actually, I thought I was going to show you how smart I was. I actually looked in the Bible to see how many times the word obedient, obey, or stuff related to obedience is. And after I counted almost 200 references, I stopped counting because I realized pretty much the whole Bible's about obedience. I'm not that smart, but I'm getting better at it. So you don't have to look at how much times obedience is referenced. I'd like to start with some good news. My wife and I, next month, are going to celebrate 20 years of marriage. And they said it wouldn't last. But... also, 2 days ago, on the 20th, I had a birthday. I turned 52 years old. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. And also, 2 days ago, I'm 25 years drug-free. And so I was at one time a serious drug addict and drug dealer. So I'm glad to be drug-free. And also, next month, not on Easter, but on Good Friday service, will be 7 years that I accepted Christ as my Savior. So that's the good news. So now you know, so when you're hearing the rest of it, you won't be overwhelmed. I find myself that I'm a beautiful mess most of the time. And being obedient makes life easier. Because I just get so confused sometimes, and you know, I want to love God, love my neighbor, and I don't want to rely on myself. So obedience is a wonderful thing. I want to read to you something that touched my heart out of 1 Corinthians 7:32-35. It says, "I would like you to be free from concern. just right there, I would like you to be free from concern is a big deal when I'm concerned about everything. Everything's a concern of mine. Paul goes on to say, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world and how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world and how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. You know, this is for married, not married, wherever you're at. I don't think I understood that first till recently. You know, the order of love. Love God. Love your neighbor. If you're married, your spouse is your greatest neighbor. Love others, and then love yourself. Third. You know, also when you get married, you know, I thought originally when you get married, she's going to help me be a better person. I'm going to be a better me. And what happens is you don't become a better you, and they don't become a better them. You become a better one together. You really become something different. It's not supposed to be you're enhanced. You know, this is my better half. It's really we're a better whole together. And I didn't understand that when we first got married, when I wasn't walking in the Lord. In September 11th, 2001, 9/11, the greatest audience won at that time was myself. I was 41 years old, very successful in business at 41. I was known for honesty, integrity, and character. Except I was living a big lie. On September 20th, my wife found out that I was cheating on her for the past 4 years. We were married 9.5 years at the time. So remember the good news. We're celebrating 20 years next month. 9/11 got me thinking about, you know, what if I lose it all? We lived in Los Angeles in the LA area. I really thought something was going to happen out there. And it made me think about, what am I doing? You know, what if I lost my finances? What if I lost my car, my house? Who are my real friends? You know, as Mike said, I was raised Jewish. I used to say I believe in God and I believe in heaven, but I never really gave it great thought. In fact, I would thank God at various times for the good work I did, but I never asked God for anything. And the 4 years I was cheating on my wife, I never told anyone about it. I didn't need to, and I think this is typical with a lot of men. I was able to put it in a separate category. You know, love my wife, she was a good mother, this and that, and I just justified this over here. But 9/11 really got me thinking about, what do I really believe? Do I really believe in God? Do I really believe in heaven? And my wife's pain and suffering, when she found out, she turned back to her faith. She was raised a pastor's kid, going to church every Sunday, maybe twice on Sunday. That's why she doesn't sit in the first row. She sits in the second row. She turned back to her faith in her pain and suffering. And I saw an instant change in her that I thought wasn't real. I actually was so arrogant, I thought she was faking just to keep me around. And when she found out I was cheating on her, I proceeded to tell her everything she wasn't doing for me. We don't kiss anymore. We don't hold hands. The kids sit between us instead of on the outside of us. You don't leave me notes anymore. It was really me, me, me. Later, she told me the reason she didn't ask me to leave is because she didn't know what God wanted her to do with me. That's obedience. She couldn't trust her feelings. She was blindsided. All she could do was go back to obedience, and she didn't know what God wanted her to do with me. It's amazing. She started going to church by our house, happened to be Saddleback Church. I didn't know Saddleback or Rick Warren from anything, but then again at the time, I didn't really know George Wood for anything other than my father-in-law, as the anointed leader he really is. She went to church. I saw this change in her. I started thinking, you know, I really need to know if this eternity thing is real, one way or the other. I was going to live my wife differently. So I told her that, you know, I really need to prove eternity real or your faith false, one or the other. And I asked her if I can go to church with her. And out of obedience to God, she said yes. Later, she told me inside she was screaming no, because that was her safe place, church. But I went to church, and what happened that day was amazing, because the pastor was talking about finances. And it was almost like being in a financial seminar. He was talking about tithing 10, saving 10, and living on the rest. And I thought, well, that's amazing. And there wasn't a lot of Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that. And he said two things that really struck me. One, he said, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship with God. And I thought, that's a really smart guy. I say that all the time. It's about a relationship. And then he said, the two greatest commandments are love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're not doing one and two, you're getting the rest wrong. And I remember sitting there thinking, I have no idea what the rest is, but I'm pretty sure I'm not doing one and two. So I'll start there. Can't argue with love God, love your neighbor. That's an easy one. So I started going to church with her. I went through a process, a seeking process of almost 4 years. I won't tell you all that, but I had to decide, what do I really believe as a Jew? Do I really believe the Bible is the inspired word of God or not? I don't know. I better read it. So I read it. Do I really believe in the miracles, etc.? I interviewed rabbis, pastors, went out to Israel on two Christian tours, took biblical archaeology class, prophecy class, never accepted Christ. But in that almost 4 years, I couldn't prove anything false. I couldn't prove everything true, but I couldn't prove anything false. And on Good Friday service, 2005, I accepted Christ. And as we were driving home, I told my wife, I said, you know, I said that prayer. I accepted Christ. I said, I don't have it all figured out, but I believe. And out of the back seat, my 7-year-old son said, Dad, that's okay. Everyone has some doubts till they get to heaven. I was like, whoa, smart kid, still is. So, you know, obedience is really a choice. You know, when I started understanding, keep it simple, love God, love your neighbor. You know, am I going to choose to be obedient? Who am I going to follow? Am I going to follow my way or God's way? I keep falling back to obedience. And of course, there's consequences for our actions that, you know, you always got to live with when you make those mistakes. Even though you're changing, you're becoming a different person, so those hurts continue. In fact, it was almost a couple years after I think I accepted Christ, and I overheard my wife speaking to another woman about an issue she was having with her husband. And the woman was saying, you know, how did you do it? And my wife forgave me right away, but it took her 3 years or more to learn to love and trust me again, which is incredible. And I overheard her telling somebody else the story that out of obedience to God, she used to go to bed with me at night because it was the right thing to do, and then get up and go downstairs and cry for hours, and then get back in bed with me in the morning so I could wake up and see her in bed with me. That's an obedient woman to God. I realized as I was growing spiritually that marriage is a covenant. It's a promise. It's not a contract. And as I said, as the Bible tells us, you know, we really become one flesh, and we become a better one than a better individual, two separate better individuals. And I asked my wife to marry me again. And it was pretty cool. For our 17th year anniversary, we got married on the southern steps of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And my father-in-law got to perform the marriage. He got robbed of the first time because we eloped to Las Vegas. So, but it was very cool. And what I found out in the covenant, it's out of obedience. And it was interesting because renewing our wedding vows, in the Jewish faith, they have what's called a ketubah. And I didn't want to do a ketubah. Ketubah in the U.S., when they do it, it's a beautiful certificate. They put it on the wall. It's a marriage contract. And my wife in Israel wanted us to get a ketubah. And I said, I don't want to do that because I know it's not a contract. It's a covenant. It's a promise. And I'm making my promise. And in a promise, you do your part even if the other person doesn't do their part. But I said, okay, it's traditional. You want to get it, we'll get it. Well, the family we were with brought a ketubah over that was written in Aramaic. And when she read it to us, it was my promise to God how I was going to treat my wife and under God, and she couldn't nullify any of it because it wasn't my contract with her, it was my contract with God, how I'm going to treat her. And then she doesn't even sign it. I sign it, and two other godly men sign it as a witness that I promise God I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So my covenant is to be obedient to God, how to treat my wife. It's incredible. So I keep trying to be God's man, even though I don't get it right, over and over. I tell you that because obedience is ongoing. And, you know, when I read the proverb, the righteous will fall several times after I came to Christ, I was really disappointed in that because I thought, now that I got it right, what do you mean I'm going to fall several times over and over? But no one's immune. I mean, we're not immune. It happens over and over. In fact, I was teaching a class on being God's man and leading a family. It was a men's class. And I remember it was a Thursday night, and as I was walking out the door, I got in an argument with my wife. I don't know about what. We were arguing, and it was one of those stupid, fierce arguments. And as I was going out the door, it was like the knife in the back. She says, I can't believe you're going to go teach a class on being God's man and leading a family. I'm like, oh. I said, well, at least I can go teach them how to do it wrong. I apologized to her later on. But we keep obedience to God. We're going to make mistakes. We need to keep coming back to being obedient. And it's a choice. I'm short on time, so I want to leave you with a couple things. My Bible verse now is Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. I love the fact when I find New Testament verses that are Old Testament verses, because I'm a Jew, so I'm a Jewish believer, so it's the old book. So Deuteronomy 6:5 first talks about loving God that way. And I have to keep it simple. The smarter I get in my faith, the more I know. You know, when I was telling you I interviewed rabbis and pastors, I came up with so many different opinions from the same faith. It was unbelievable. I realized there was a lot of intellectually stupid people out there. So I keep falling back to love God, love your neighbor. The smarter I get, I just go, you know, I just got to fall back on obedience. I'm not that smart. I don't have it figured out. And I'm one step from stupid at any given moment. I'm going to keep messing it up. See, the guys are shaking their head. The women aren't, just the guys are one step from stupid, you know. There's so much more I can tell you. My wife is so obedient to God. I know that I need to love and treat my wife how God wants me to treat her. And I would say the people, and it's the greatest blessing to have somebody like that in my life. I'm so thankful. And if you're single, I understand when I was reading about 1 Corinthians, what Paul was saying, because we are concerned. I am concerned about my wife, and she's concerned about me. And I do have to deal with more things of the world. I'm not single and carefree and can't focus just on God. I envy the single people who know and love God right now, that are in a love relationship with God, that are uninhibited, that can be all in for God. Wow. Don't even slow down. Do it. Embrace it. The reason I don't cheat on my wife is because I love God so much. It's my relationship with God. The intimate relationship I have with God brings me greater joy than any earthly pleasure I've ever received. Literally. Literally. I wish I would have known that when I was younger. I didn't know it. So now I want to concentrate on my love relationship with God, and that's how I'll be obedient and treat my wife. I want to pray with you guys. Yes, Lord? I'm going to pray now, Lord. I want to pray. Forgive me, Lord, as I continue to stumble in your ways. Forgive us. As we choose to be obedient, let us grow stronger in our relationship with you. Thank you for frequently picking me up, Lord. Thank you for loving this broken me. Thank you for the work you're doing in me, Lord. May I love my wife as Christ so loves the church. Help me be more like Christ. Thank you for putting godly people in my life who can discern and tell me when the action is more mine than of yours. You're my everything, Lord, my Alpha, my Omega. Everything starts and stops with you. I pray that I can remember the simple truth and live according to your will. Let me fall back on being obedient. May I love you and love my neighbor. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Mike?
Can we express our appreciation to Rick tonight? Thank you so much, Rick. Thank you, Rick. Thanks for being obedient tonight, sharing your story. You know, his story is, there are just so many things in there you just want to stop and pause. And before we leave, instead of rehearsing all that, I'd just like to pray one more time and lead us in a little bit of a response. Let's bow our heads and our hearts together just for a moment. You know, maybe you're here tonight and there's something of a renewal that the Lord wants to do in you. Something that was said tonight really stuck out to me, and that was being God's man, and the same would be true for being God's woman. And no matter whether you're single or married, the point is we all have a calling to become the man or woman God has called us to be. Married, single, or otherwise, you know, in a place where things are in need of deep renewal. The Lord just says, come and rest in me. Love me with your whole being. Love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, I think that sometimes we have made it so complicated. We have forgotten that the simple call to come and to draw near to you, Lord, came at great expense to you. You were sacrificed. You willingly gave up your life for us on the cross so that there could be reconciliation. That's what we heard tonight. We heard of a story of reconciliation, but really it's a greater illustration of how we can be reconciled to you. And that's what happened, Lord, when you stretched your arms out. You brought together. Lord, you have extended the invitation of grace for us to walk away from our lives of sin that separate us, and we can walk into complete and a fulfilled relationship with you, where we don't seek for other poor substitutes, but we are totally satisfied. And Father, each and every one of us, we crave that. And some of us medicate it in ways that are overt, and some of us medicate in ways that are subtle. But the fact is, Lord, we are deeply crave an intimacy with you. So we pray by your Spirit you would fill us tonight. May we walk in the power of the Spirit that can only come through intimacy with Jesus. It's not through righteous works or right doing, but it's through a surrendered heart to God. So we come to you, Lord. Make us into the men and women of God you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.